Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon producing the show. You guys can hit us up on the J Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. We got Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, getting set to hop on the mic. He, of course, is presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750, like the gentleman that rear-ended Cody this morning. We all make mistakes.
Nate, I just bought that car. I just bought it.
Oh, okay.
Less than 6 months ago.
Oh, my Lord. I've been, this is one of the few times that I didn't listen to the opening of the show. Because, you know, on Tuesdays, I do a lot of errands, bounce around.
Yeah.
As everybody knows, my wife is pregnant, which means...
Yeah, congratulations to both of you.
Appointments.
Yes, which means, like, everything in the house is on me now to
That's
fix,
fair.
Especially after a weekend.
She's doing the hard work. Yeah. You can do the rest.
Yeah, especially after a weekend where we, you know, we hosted a couple friends for Hayden. And but, yeah, I'm so sorry. I didn't know this had occurred. Mm-hmm. I was...
Mm-hmm.
Tough. Were they insured?
Oh, yeah. They okay. work.
It's a company vehicle.
Driving a company truck.
I know this is an audio medium, but ladies and gentlemen, I am perplexed, befuddled with the nonsense.
They're called accidents for a reason, Nate.
On a Tuesday morning with the company car.
Mm-hmm. That man said, "Look, the way I said it was like I treated it like I was pretty cool with him," and he said he thanked me for that
wow.
because I was like, "You might be having a worse day than me." Like, it sucks for me, but, like, you're in the company car and you did the accident. So, like, your Nate stinks.
Yes.
Your Nate stinks.
Wow. Just wow.
Tough going. Speaking of, you know, like, let's get to the Chiefs because I don't want to think about it. This is going to ruin my whole week. Probably month, Nate.
We had a false alarm.
I thought maybe the Chiefs signed an offensive tackle. It was the Giants.
No.
The Chiefs can sign an offensive tackle.
Cody said, hold on. Cody goes, hold on. He goes, hold on. We got an update. There's a tackle. Anything new? Has there been a phone call? You said Wanya Morris's performance on Sunday could dictate perhaps what happens health-wise, etc. Please call Donovan Smith. Have they called him?
I don't get the sense that they've made another call.
Ethan Driscoll's the backup now. They're not calling?
Let me say that one more time for the audience.
Made another call.
I don't think they've made another call. You could always check in, but I don't think the calls have escalated. I know Andy Reid yesterday pointed out that outside of one holding penalty that I don't know if I totally agree with, Wanya was not really an issue against the Buffalo Bills. It was more pressure from the interior. There was a little bit of slippage from the right tackle, but I thought Juwan did fine. It's just, hey, man, that's a good team, obviously.
Sure.
And Wanya got through the game. That was the most important part, is that not only is Patrick, you know, not really dealing with the ankle injury the way he was a couple of weeks ago, but at the same time, Wanya, with his right knee issue, played the game, played pretty well, despite us all knowing he has that injury, and, you know, got through the game. So we, you know, you would assume that with treatment, with extra sessions in the training room, he would obviously get healthier, ahead of the Carolina Panthers. So I don't think a call has been made. I know the Chiefs obviously signed someone from the practice squad for a receiver. You don't really do that for left tackle purposes. But the question now is the Kingsley Suamataia demotion a one-week demotion, or are we just putting you on ice?
I mean, how could – like, he went from starter to benched to win the game for a minute to not on the game day active roster. I think that's for the season, right?
I double-checked. I mean, obviously he was there. Like, he traveled with the team. I'm not sure if that was something that was told to him during the week or if that was something that was told to him during, like, Saturday. maybe Sunday morning.
He sent out a text Saturday at midnight with the sad emoji, but we thought that it might have been because Kansas lost to because BYU lost to Kansas.
Yes, I think he was watching that game, by the way. So my belief is probably tied to the alma mater. But yes, Ethan Driscoll's a tall man, but as I reported before the game, and as I've reported all throughout the season, Ethan Driscoll has mostly been working at right tackle. Hmm. He is not your break in case of emergency left tackle. That, ladies and gentlemen, more and more, I believe, is Joe Tooney. Like,
fine with that.
They are playing Mike Caliendo more. I thought it was interesting that both teams used six offensive linemen at various times, but you know, there might be a little bit of a bigger reason why Mike Caliendo is getting more playing time.
So are they basically say, for those like myself that are concerned that, all right, what if Wanye gets hurt? It's not about starting over Wanye, but it's I need depth behind him, as in Donovan Smith. You're saying that their counter is like, well, we don't need to sign maybe Donovan Smith because we just know we'll move Tooney over. But doesn't that just weaken your entire offensive line as well at the same time?
Yes, potentially. Yes, that is a bigger concern, I would argue, because you're taking one of the best left guards in the league in Joe Tooney and moving him to left tackle. Now, we saw it for like a limited amount of time, I believe in the 2021 season, when they played the Cincinnati Bengals late in the year, right? And he did fine, but it's clear that like Joe Tooney's technique, his balance, his punch, it's all, you know, really developed as a left guard, not a left tackle. Them having Ethan Driscoll up, I thought was sort of a little promotion for Ethan Driscoll, who has only gotten better, we can assume, between training camp and obviously making the roster as an undrafted rookie. But also, I think it's meant to hopefully motivate Kingsley Suamataia to take practice as serious as he can, to be as detailed as possible in the meetings, in the walkthroughs. And then, you know, if they bring him back for Carolina, which I think they should, hey, if something were to happen, you will maybe get one more shot in the event that, like, Wanye Morris goes down or Joe Tooney moves over to left tackle and now he's struggling or there's something that goes wrong with Mike Caliendo, who comes in at left guard because he's the veteran interior offensive lineman that you have. So, again, as I said, I think last week, right, you don't have to call Donovan Smith until probably Thanksgiving.
That's next week.
But let me ask you a question.
Just say, again, because I want to remind people, like, just because you called Donovan Smith on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, doesn't mean he has to pick up.
Doesn't mean he, well, hey.
Man, he's not going to be.
He's not going to play.
He's not going to
play the next week. So if you want him ready by, like, mid-December, it would probably be mindful to have him on the roster with the guys for like a week.
Two, what does he want to have a thing? Make sure he enjoys a Thanksgiving dinner and then just get ready to play.
Go on a cleanse and get ready to play.
Yeah, I guess. It'll be fine. That's fine with me. Go for it.
I want to ask about DeAndre Hopkins some other first, but okay. I'll ask you one question we asked ourselves on the show because I think it at least is a good cap to this conversation. Does Kingsley Suamataia ever start another game for left tackle for the Chiefs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We all thought no. That's why I'm curious.
We invested a second round pick, and guys, I just. The more I've been doing this, the less likely I'm being willing to be sort of put in a knee-jerk situation. Like, oh, just because this happened doesn't mean that, like,
it's done.
Yeah, and I mean, we have enough examples of Juju Smith-Schuster, obviously Kareem Hunt. I never thought Mecole Hardman was going to be a viable player in the offense.
Now he's a good player.
Now he's just a good contributor. Like, it happens over time. And so because Kingsley is very young, because he came in with all this athleticism, if I respect and are going to give the benefit of the doubt to the coaching staff, primarily Andy Reid and Andy Heck, the offensive line coach, who was a former left tackle in the NFL, then okay, you have an offseason maybe two to groom him, and at some point in his rookie contract, I would think he will get another opportunity to protect Patrick Mahomes' blind side, because I don't know if there's an immediate upgrade next offseason outside of just
staying. I think they have to replicate the Orlando Brown Jr. trade again.
Staying with Wanye Morris or doing another trade, which again, I don't think the Chiefs are as I don't think they're as enticed to do that again based on where they are from a salary cap standpoint and where their roster is. You know, the way it's going to overturn over the next 2 years.
Tyquan Thornton, we viewed it as of he joins the practice squad. Learn the offense, sets up, so he'll just sign back in the offseason. Mm-hmm. He'll be the guy that fans go crazy for at training camp, and he'll replace Justin Ross.
No.
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 He'll have a bigger role, or as in Justin Ross?
He replaces Sky Moore,
the guy
he was drafted three spots ahead of.
I have a better name.
Okay.
One that I'm sure people don't think of, but that's okay.
All right.
Justin Watson.
Okay.
Can you at some point next season be better than what Justin Watson is right now?
The only way you're talking this into yourself, though, is like he's the Patriots Sky Moore, equally ineffective. I know it's like, it's not like, I mean, the man's only got 360 career receiving yards.
Yes.
It has not gone well in New England. I will say it's like, it's a replacement for like Watson or Sky Moore, those like,
yes.
But it's like, it's not your failed project. And at the very least, I like this about it is they're completely different body types. So if you're going to go after a wide receiver like Thornton, they didn't just go after a different Sky Moore. I mean, right. Thornton's taller, longer. He looks, I think someone made the Chris Conley comparison. That is very similar in body type, I would say he is.
Right. So he will immediately go into a competition, one assumes, next season with Sky Moore. The reason why I named Justin Watson is he is technically not on contract for next season. He will be technically a free agent. Now, there's always a chance he could re-sign for another one-year deal, given the floor Justin Watson gives you on a regular basis. I mean, even, you know, when the Bills play man coverage, they at least have a couple plays where they say, hey, we know Justin Watson can beat man mostly on corner routes with Patrick Mahomes rolling to the right. I watched it like four times. It's a great catch. But
it was a perfect throw.
The throws he was making in the second half.
He was dotting.
Was pretty great. It's just a matter of like some of the other things around him not elevating the way that you would want your superstar quarterback to elevate things. I have a specific play loaded up, little gentlemen, for you guys to see here in a minute. But can you give us what Justin Watson gave us? And again, I like to remind people, if this young man is in a competition with Sky Moore, it costs the Chiefs more money to keep him than to cut him next season. That was the interesting structure of a second round pick who will give you $1.58 million in cap relief versus less than $500,000 to cut him.
Gotcha. I just think that like when you, it's just like, bring him into camp. If it doesn't work out, just walk on it.
That's right.
One player Gold and I were both kind of stuck on was DeAndre Hopkins' snap count went down to 47%. I went through and I looked at the tight end snap counts and I saw how high the two tight end set is.
Yep.
Is that the simple explanation for DeAndre Hopkins, or is there a reason why he didn't get on the field very much?
Okay, you want the galaxy brain version or you want the simple version?
The simple version is my version, right? It's like they just played a lot of two tight ends.
I'm not going to spoil it. I know where you're headed with the galaxy brain conversation. It has to do with snap counts and compensation.
A little bit. The simple math of this is, hey, we could show stuff just to gather information in the event that we might see this team down the road. Noah Gray's been playing really well, so there's no issue there as to why you would play him over someone like DeAndre Hopkins. Now, all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, I'll ask a question to the audience, not necessarily to you guys. You guys know the answer. Why in the hell did DeAndre Hopkins only get one target when the gotta-have-it drive happened in the fourth quarter? Why was Xavier Worthy on the field but was never targeted again? And Lord help us, did Travis Kelce run any sophisticated, intricate, bedazzling routes in the second half? Hell no. Now, they still went down the field. They still scored a touchdown in a gotta-have-it moment. And if the Chiefs defense gets a stop on 4th-and-2, you hand the ball to Patrick Mahomes with the 2-minute drill with 2 timeouts and only needing a field goal to win the game.
I saw like 5 people who analyzed it said the Chiefs defense was good on that play.
Oh, they were.
Like everything they did was right, except for Chris Jones didn't mind one gap.
I would actually put more emphasis on George Karlaftis because you cannot get behind Josh Allen in that situation.
Got it.
Getting behind Josh Allen gives him the edge, which Chris Jones or no one in that position can sort of
make
up. Like
the play call was good.
Yes, the play call is great because it definitely fooled him. The Bills had no one running a deep route, so every route is congested. It's a very mesh concept. Chiefs do a really good job in match zone. Just, hey, everybody stay in their zone. Hey, we're occupying the guy. Why is he running? And then once that happens, I mean, Drew Tranquil's in a bind. He's like, do I continue with the guy crossing my face, or do I try to tackle the human being that's a bully, running down the field?
No, when you said galaxy brain, this was more of a social media take, I think, that got out there. There was some, and it seemed crazy, was that Mm-hmm. The draft pick compensation for Hopkins changes with the percentage of snaps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
I just thought they played vanilla.
True. So here's the galaxy break. Here's my thesis, all right? Not saying it's necessarily true. I'm just saying there's a lot of evidence to support it. Now, look, not only does the compensation come in mind as to, like, you know, fourth round pick instead of a fifth round pick, but also you're 32. And also, we don't need this game. We're just biding time. You ran a couple good routes. Awesome. Hey, you got held. You got pass interfered with in the back of the end zone. Great. We're done. Put it away. Put everything away now. We're done. Hey. You'll be fine. Hey, we'll probably see them again. And look, we got enough information. And we're going to use it next time. And by the way, you will play 80% of the snaps in the AFC divisional or championship round. Don't worry, we got you. Also, you still learn the playbook, baby. We ain't got to.
Man, it's early.
We ain't got to push this. They have to win. We don't have to win. We're just trying to gain information. And you know what? Let's just hang around and see if we can win in the last minutes of the fourth quarter. And look, you know, hey, dog, we trying to develop the rookie. You know, we're trying to see, like, hey, man. Hey, two tight ends. We're fine, you know, because guess what? The information we gathered, I believe, is that the Bills do what they always do. They stayed in nickel, which means we will absolutely dice them next time we see them. I believe that's the belief. I believe that's the overall approach. And why would we show the good stuff now? Why would DeAndre, we're not playing for right now.
It's okay. A long haul.
You still think they're getting the one seed?
Well, now they have pressure upon them to go
that's
ahead
my only
and do
thing.
That.
And it's not about going on the road. We know they can go on the road. It's that they had a week six bye or whatever, and that's the problem. Not having a bye late in the year.
Yes.
Having to play an extra game instead of only having to play two to get to Super Bowl. So I hear you. I do think they obviously learned a ton from this game.
Yes.
And we know that they will likely see them. But There's still some risk involved if that was the case, because the Bills to me have to lose one, if not two, of their next three games. Detroit, San Fran, and the Rams. Mm-hmm. If they go 3-0 in those, the Chiefs are in trouble for the one seed.
Potentially. Now I also want to say that there's another reason why I think DeAndre Hopkins, because I can't tell whose issue this is. I can't tell who's. I think I know who's at fault. Because one guy is a 12-year veteran and another guy just got here. But I have a screenshot on NFL Pro, the All-22. It's in the fourth quarter. It is second and, I believe, five-ish. This is late third quarter, maybe. This is second and five. The Chiefs have a chance to go down the field. If they score a touchdown, they take a huge lead in the game. They're only down two. Can you tell me what the problem is with this?
Why are three guys standing by each other? That?
No spacing at all.
Xavier Worthy and DeAndre Hopkins literally run the same route.
Yeah, they're next to each other.
They are literally next to each other in a zone defense. Patrick has to bail out of the pocket because he's like, what the hell is that on the right side? Which is where his initial read starts. And then has to scramble, which then creates the holding call on Wanya Morris because Wanya is not sure where the hell Patrick is going because the ball should be out on time.
And that was a tough one, too. That didn't even look like that bad of a holding
call. To your point, yeah, I mean, clearly Worthy once, you know, ran the wrong route.
Yes, one would believe Worthy ran the wrong route.
Here's it. Like, the thing for Worthy, though, still is, like, what's funny is if they ever have a game in which they actually complete the 60-yard touchdown, in which they've been close, I don't know, six, eight times, I feel like they're unbeatable. Because, like, that amount of scoring, just that one touchdown for 60 is, like, enough to be like, well, then how are you going to get him?
Right.
Hard enough to beat him anyway, but if they drop a 60-yard touchdown on you, well, then good luck. Because now they've separated themselves in a different regard. But, like, look, 2 weeks ago, Alex and I agree, by the way, on all three bets. 2 weeks ago, it was Xavier Worthy, get your ass in bounds. He didn't know where the sideline was. Last week, Mahomes threw a terrible pass, 100% on him. This week, it was both.
Yep.
A perfect pass definitely is a touchdown. That was a really good pass, and he just gets his feet down, and it's a very long completion. So, like, I'll put it on both of you for this one. I'll just give you the 50-50. But, like, I don't even know how you, like, coach that regularly other than just like shame someone in a meeting over and over again.
What it reminds you to is why do we practice in training camp? Why do we do the things we do in training camp? I think that's what will immediately remind me to.
There's so many deep balls to Worthy in camp.
Exactly. We practice this so many times so that it would hopefully become second nature by this point in the regular season, which is why it's an alarming issue. So what I've been told, what I've learned about the Chiefs offense is, yes, it's on the page. And this is tough for a rookie. The line is on the page against a specific coverage in a specific scenario. And if it goes according to what the play call is and what the anticipated coverage is, then, yeah, you run that to the corner. But if a safety blows it, which is wild, which is what happened, by the way, Tyler Rapp and DeMar Hamlin, wolf. Somebody
was open a lot.
Somebody's going to exploit that, but wolf. I mean, there's a reason Tyler Rapp came back into the game because they're like, hey, dog, I don't care how much your foot hurts. Tape it up. We have nobody else. So they both blow the coverage wide open. And so if you find open grass, the actual route, now that we're in this scenario, is you need to vert it up more. You need to actually
push
change
it.
You need to actually change the angle of the route than what it says on paper because you've blown past both safeties or both safeties have screwed it up to where all of a sudden that ball needs to be layered a little bit further downfield versus the corner. Now, he breaks it off and runs it like a traditional rookie looking at the sheet on the piece of paper. Totally fine. That's still a 40-yard gain. You got to get your feet in bounds. But also, I think one of the reasons why Patrick has struggled is there are certain things that we tell you to do versus us practicing it and then it happening in the game. And that's just a hard thing to remind yourself of, running full speed, knowing what the coverage is, seeing it the way the quarterback wants to see it, and hey, maybe I should actually like change my angle just a little bit, 5 degrees more upfield, and now I have more space around the boundary for me to make that catch and turn upfield versus me cornering it or, you know, maybe angling it a lot sharper, and now it is a toe tap, when normally that's what the play is supposed to be if a safety's doing his job of staying over.
It's supposed to be a sideline.
He's supposed to be over the top of you. That's why the angle is the way it's drawn up. But now that the angle's not there, just go up a little bit more field, and Patrick and him are supposed to see that in sync at the same time, again, with, you know, 300-pound lineman trying to take your head off.
Lastly, before we let you go, we're talking to Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. What did you make of Nazee Johnson's play? You know, it seemed like when they needed a big third down, they got him.
Mm-hmm. I thought he played okay. I think I'm crazy, I guess.
No, you're crazy. It's bad. It's bad.
Man?
It's real bad. Did you see the
I think the Cooper one, you can't defend that.
You can't
defend that.
It's the only one, but here's the problem. And this relates to Nazee Johnson. But for the first time all season against a worthy competition, against a worthy offense with a superstar quarterback, which you're going to see those in the postseason, there was an actual hole in the defense. Oh. And it was Nazee Johnson. And I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Now the question becomes, if you're sticking with Nazee Johnson, how much can he improve between now and
with their coaching January? Staff, I think some.
Yes. To Nazee's credit or disservice, that was only his third career start. He's never started a game of that magnitude at the cornerback position. And so what the Buffalo Bills figured out is, man, we cannot run the ball because Chris Jones and, you know, Derek Nnadi and Mike Pinnell, Leo Chenault, okay, man. We cannot run the ball, okay, unless we're deep in our, you know, unless we're in the red zone. Okay, how do we keep the ball away from, how do we not even test Trick McDuffie, but make sure that Chris Jones doesn't get, like, pressure on us. Where's 13? Where's 13?
Yeah.
And hopefully, Lord willing, is 13 and 27 on the same side of the field? Oh, my God, they are. Hey, Khalil Shakur, come over here. Come over here. Get this little swing route. Missed tackle, 22-yard gain. Guys, the Chiefs defense played better than people realize in the second half, because Josh Allen's longest completion in the second half was 22 yards on a dump off to a swing route to
On a missed tackle. It should have been a gain of like six.
He could not throw the ball down the field. They had one shot in the second half, and it was on a play action rollout to a backup tight end, which I'm like, schematically looks great. He can't adjust to the pass. So cool. They had one missed shot. They had the pass interference on Shamari Connor, which I was like, that was going to be a 50-50 ball.
He did what he was supposed to. He was worried it was complete either way.
Yes, but I was just like, just let the receiver make a spectacular catch versus bailing them out on 39. But also, he could not pass the ball 15 yards down the field. Couldn't do it. And so, even though Najee was clearly the mark, and they clearly realized that in the second half, that should be most concerning, even more so than like the lack that they got pressure on Josh Allen, because Josh Allen's a freak. You might not get pressure.
And I'm also just banking on a Minshew. There's no reinforcements coming in the secondary bar other than Spags and Merritt just coaching them up.
Yes. So anytime, I mean, it's crazy. I watched the entire second half twice yesterday, and I was just like, Trent McDuffie was out here just running sprints, just like kind of shadowing guys. Yeah. And he's like, all right, well, great. I have Shakir this time. Oh, he ain't throw it to me. Oh, great. I have Curtis Samuel. Throw it to me. Is that Amari Cooper? I mean, I guess I could. Oh, I guess I might pay attention now. It's just like, no, man. They're not even testing you once. So Najee gave up over 100 yards on targets. He was targeted 12 times as the nearest defender. This is via Pro Football Focus. 9 completions, 103 yards, 1 touchdown. It's bad. It's real bad.
Nate Taylor from The Athletic. Appreciate it, man. We'll check in next week. Enjoy Charlotte.
Wolf.
Enjoy that one. Up next, we'll get back to our conversation with Vinny Pasquantino, our NFL insider. We asked him about what he makes of where the Chiefs are at. Plus, he had some interesting thoughts just about his own health.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Next.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold is brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. News out of New York, Joe Douglas, Jets GM, fired today after multiple seasons as the man in charge, just 30 wins as the GM. Of course, was responsible for hiring Robert Saleh, who was already fired, responsible for trading for Aaron Rodgers, responsible for all the personnel moves, and it has backfired, to put it lightly. Yeah, he was going to get fired at the end of the season. I'm a little surprised, I guess, it happened midseason, but I guess you start that process. Aaron Rodgers still remains, maybe for another month or so. There's thought that they could just flat out cut him now in the offseason. It's probably what they need to do and just reset the entire operation.
So it's like a heads have got a roll situation, I guess. They've fired somebody different 3 times in the last 6 weeks. It sure made a difference. They should have never traded for Devontae Adams. What a stupid trade that was. Next up on What's Trending Local College Hoops tonight, Kansas will take on UNC Wilmington at Allen Fieldhouse. Kansas State at home versus Mississippi Valley. Plus, one local team played last night. UMKC victorious over Calvary by a score of 119-19. Clean, easy 100. I hope you got the alt line at minus 99.5, you know?
Yes,
I don't know if that was paying out the alt line, 99.5.
That would be one of those games that was not on the board to bet. That result last night is why they don't put lines up for games that involve a Division I school and
NCAA? Or Drew, you know the
National Christian Collegiate or something. Athletic Association.
NCCAA.
There it is. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. 100 that points. One. Next on What's Trending, MLB award season continues, even though it takes way too long for them to do this. We found out who the Rookie of the Years are for baseball. No surprise, Paul Skenes, NL Rookie of the Year, and then Luis Gil over with the Yankees, the American League Rookie of the Year.
He actually played in 2 different seasons for the Yankees, missed one in between, but didn't qualify for enough games. Tonight, they'll announce Manager of the Year, so we'll find out whether or not there's an upset. Because as of right now, it certainly looks like it's not going to be Q, and instead it'll be Stephen Vogt. But we'll see. That will actually officially get announced tonight. Next up on What's Trending, Peyton versus Eli. At least once again for the Pro Bowl games. They are coming back as coaches for the 2025 Pro Bowl games. This just feels like an easy TV hit for them. I'm not really moved by the Pro Bowl games in any capacity. I don't think anyone is. But I understand why they do it. Peyton Manning and Eli Manning are at least a draw.
Someone said, why do they even do the Pro Bowl anymore? I'm kind of with you. Just money, I guess. Money. That's the answer. And every other league has an all-star type of thing. They
because
feel like
every
they
year
to
be like 13 million people. And I'm like, who are
we always
you?
Say nobody watches, but people are watching.
Someone
people
is. Watching. It's not us.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Earlier today, as he does each and every Tuesday, our VNFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, stopped by. We went over a bunch of topics, including an update on his health. He gave us a little update on where things are at with his progress this offseason.
He's had songs written about him without asking for it.
Pasquantino, I want it. Now it's time for Pasquantino.
Mythological creatures and sandwiches have been named after him.
Beefy and Italian.
And he also thought the Davante Adams trade was going to save the Jets.
Jets.
Welcome back to the show, our VNFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino.
Yeah, it's time to check in with our VNFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. To start off, we were just discussing prior to the break, Vinny, locally, Kansas City UMKC basketball had a 119-19 win, a 100-point victory last night. In your high school days or maybe college days, do you have a story about you guys maybe just completely destroying an opponent anywhere like that?
No. No, I do not. Never been a part of anything quite like that. I'm breathing hard. Sorry.
Yeah, are you running?
I'm in the middle of a workout.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
What are you working on? You doing some like lunges? What's the?
No, I'm on a bike. I was going to do it on the bike, but there's no way I could talk while being on the bike. So now I'm pacing outside our facility right now.
Trying to catch your breath for a second.
No. Go ahead. I'm locked.
Okay, you're good. Which, hey, the other thing I wanted to ask you about before we got to football was you were asking on Twitter one of the best, like, chain restaurants, Applebee's, Chili's. You didn't know what 54th Street was? That's a Northland treat. Will you come
back
to town?
I've been on the plaza for 3 years, and I've never gone anywhere else. I normally just order food. We don't have a whole lot of time to go out that much. So
you're saying when you and your wife have a off day, you don't just like hit up 54th Street?
So I go to Potbelly for lunch. Potbelly is my favorite spot in Kansas City. I pretty much go there. I'm a regular at Potbelly on the plaza. You guys are probably, not you guys, but anybody listening have probably seen me there at least once. And then for dinner, I go to Prime Social. That's our spot.
Nice.
Or Ocean Prime. And then we go home. That's it. We're pretty simple people. Or we order food. I like, there's some burger place called like Smokehouse Burgers or something. I think that place is very good. But that's about it. We're pretty simple.
Were you able to actually watch the Tyson Paul fight on Friday? Because of all the buffering mess, I gave up, man. I gave up and I was done with it. I couldn't watch it.
Yeah, I watched it. I watched it on my phone. That's how I was able to get it. I don't know how to feel about it, but good for them. They made a whole lot of money.
Well, that's the thing is like if you approached it just knowing it's entertainment, but like if you were expecting it to be, you know, Crawford versus Mayweather or something like that back in the day, like that, then you were never going to be pleased.
Yeah, I'm just shocked that you're allowed to bet on stuff like that because you don't really know what's going on. Like, I don't know who commissioned that and allowed it to bet. And I guess everybody bet on Tyson. So
yeah,
Sportsbook won. They won big this past weekend. So good for them.
Vinny, after the Chiefs and Bills game on Sunday afternoon, did your opinion of either team change?
No, not really. It's kind of what I said last week, I think. It's going to be a really good game. Enjoy it. And the Bills ended up winning. Are you guys feeling okay? You guys haven't lost in a whole long time.
It's been a bit.
Since Christmas last year, you know?
Yeah, do you guys know what to do waking up this morning? or was it gloomy out yesterday morning? It feels like the sky's fallen.
It was. It rained the entire day yesterday, like the whole city knew.
Yeah, that's a message from the heavens, I guess, that it's just a tough day in Kansas City.
Would you like to remind us how to handle the Sunday after a loss?
Well, it depends. I don't think you guys need to do the type of therapy that I need to do for losses on Sundays. So, no, I think you guys can just enjoy it. I think you should just enjoy it. That's a different experience. Just enjoy kind of the pressure's off a little bit more now, you know? Lock back in, play some solid football, go undefeated the rest of the season, win the Super Bowl. You know, 20-1 or whatever it would be still sounds pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt. We're talking to our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. The number one seed conversation becomes a little more interesting, though. That's what we were discussing a couple of...
Doesn't matter, because you went to Buffalo last year and won. So, you get to play more football if you don't get the one seed. players might not like that, but... I'm sure as fans, it's fun to watch your team play and play in meaningful games.
There definitely is more football, and I'm with you. We know they can win on the road. That's not a problem. I think the only question I would have this year, Vinny, is they had such an early bye week. They had it, what was that, week 8, I think it was, something like week 7 bye this year. And so that extra bye, not the home field, but the extra bye to me with how banged up they are is a big deal.
Yeah, I would agree with that, especially in the sport that's so demanding physically. Like, you want that time off, but I'm sure that, especially if they can lock up the one seed by the end of the year, that they'll take that last week off. You would think, well, I guess if they have the bye, they wouldn't need to because they'll have the bye.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's such a weird, I don't know. The Chiefs are the funniest story in football because it's like, if it wasn't the Chiefs and it wasn't Mahomes and all the guys that have won, you'd probably be asking different questions, but there's so much trust there. It's like, okay, when the time comes, they'll show up. We'll just go from there. Instead of hoping that they will. So it's definitely fun. Who cares that you lost to the Bills? But it was a really good game, and, you know, Bills won.
In a couple of minutes here, Vinny, we're going to let you unveil your power rankings for your top five. But I think you can speak to this as a player. So there's people asking Jerry Jones if the team has quit on Mike McCarthy. There's people asking if the Jags have quit on Doug Peterson. Do you think teams can just quit listening to a manager or a coach?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe in a sport like that, where especially with, I guess it's really uncommon in football to have a coach on an expiring deal without extending him or firing him before it gets to that point. So maybe. I think that it's tough when you're losing and it just kind of feels like your season's over halfway through the year to really listen. It's not that you're not listening. It's just like, you know, sometimes it's just harder to do, especially when your quarterback goes down. Your owner talks to the media every week and kind of lights up your whole team, which is kind of a, you know, he's done it his entire career, but it's definitely an interesting move, especially now with how every bit of information is out there. I think there could be a bit of, you know, what are we doing here, guys? Like, you probably think that Trey Lance should start playing football for them now.
Yeah.
Just to see what you got. But I don't know. It's a tough question because you just never know what's going on inside a clubhouse.
In a lot of ways, the way you describe it is like, it just feels more like a job probably at that point. Like, it feels harder because it feels more like work versus like this job is fun.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Now, at the end of the day, nobody wants to hear that when you've got guys making $30 million and $20 million. You know, like, when you're well compensated, which I don't know a professional athlete that even on a rookie deal is not well compensated. Like, it's your job is to show up. That's why, like, I always am careful when I do my interviews to not talk about, you know, we're working hard, we're doing this, because it's like, well, that's kind of the expectation. Your job is to go perform. And if you don't perform, you're going to take a bunch of heat for it. And we all signed up for that. And that's just the nature of the business, and fans have every right to do that. So when things aren't going well, especially when it's supposed to go well, you're going to get heat. And you just got to deal with it. That's your job. The great thing is, though, it's like, to be honest, it's never really personal from fans. They just want to see their team win. So anything that they're getting right now, a few wins will solve that.
We're talking to our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. I understand you have compiled your power rankings. Let's get some music behind this here.
Oh, wow.
Top five? Is that what we're doing here?
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be able to get to five because I think it's a pretty clear cut.
Okay.
Three.
Okay.
But I'm going to go Chiefs at one. I'm going to go Lions at two. I'm going to go Bills at three. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm going to go Steelers at four.
Wow.
Because they just win.
Yeah.
They just freaking win games. Like, George Pickens, unreal, by the way.
He's
like, that guy is fun to watch. It's fun when he just, like, I don't know, last week when he just, like, tackled the guy on the other team for no reason. That was kind of fun. And then who's my fifth team? Man.
Ravens or maybe one of those other NFC teams?
I'm trying to think of an NFC team right now because it's not, like, man, who's got a really good record in the NFC?
You didn't say Philly.
You know what? It's the Eagles. It's the Eagles at five. Yeah, it's the Eagles at five. That's my five. Congratulations. You have my first ever power ranking.
I like it. It honestly seems like a pretty accurate power ranking. I don't think I would be way different than you.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't really watch a whole lot of Lions football. My father-in-law is a big Lions fan. He's trying to get me to be a Lions fan, but every game they play, they're up by like 30 by the time I'm able to see what's going on, so I can't tell. You know, that's probably indicative of how good they are, but until I see it. You know, like I got Nico Collins on my fantasy football team right now, and I needed to lock into that game last night to see if I thought he was any good or not. I'm a big eye test guy.
Yeah, first play of the game, you thought you had some points right there, whether the man downfield screwed you over.
Yeah, so I'm going to keep him. I'm going to keep him around, see what he's got, you know.
All right, well, Vinny, we'll let you get back on the bike, man. We appreciate you taking a break out of the workout to talk some football.
Yeah. Hey, I can't make it next week. I'll be in Kansas City, but I'm getting the plate taken out of my thumb, so I will not be able to be on the phone next Tuesday. But so maybe Massey can call in. He might be on his honeymoon. He's getting married this weekend.
Oh, wow.
We'll figure it out.
Okay. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We will find a replacement for you, at least on this end.
But maybe Monday Night Football, somebody could tell me where to watch the game.
54th Street is where I heard a great spot.
Yeah. Okay, perfect.
There you go. Vinny Pasquantino, our VNFL insider. That was earlier today. And Vinny dropping some nuggets at the end. One, Michael Massey, congratulations. Him and his fiance getting married this weekend, it sounds
so
like.
So many Royals weddings, man.
Yeah. And then, of course, great news for Vinny and his recovery post-thumb injury. He's getting, you heard it from him, getting the plate taken out of his thumb. So I don't think anybody was worried that he wouldn't be ready for spring training anyway. But it's nice to know that things continue to progress the way they should. And 2025 will be here before we know it.
I thought, was that public?
And I don't think we're going to bug Michael Massey next week. He's getting married this weekend.
I don't even care if he's not on his honeymoon. I'm not going to be like, hey, I know you're not on your honeymoon. Want to talk about the Bears season?
Yeah. No, we'll catch up with Massey at some point. We'll catch up with Massey at some point. But yeah, it doesn't seem like next week is one week we should do that.
No, I think we should probably. You know, we should get whoever was in last place of the Fantasy Football League.
At one point, it sounded like that was Garrett Hampson.
Remember, he said like one person's team was just miserably bad. Miserably bad. That one. Garrett Hampson, welcome to the show.
Get the two people that were involved in the Fantasy Football chat that Vinny tweeted out.
Dream scenario for temporary NFL insider? Zach Greinke. Should I ask?
Well, that's not happening. You know
what? He won't talk NFL with us? He loves fantasy football. What if we promised to make it only about fantasy football?
He was in Dallas last night at the Cowboys game.
Was his wife a former Chiefs cheerleader? It said something about like alumni weekend.
The Cowboys alumni week. They had them perform at halftime.
Nice.
Which was better than the product on the field during the game. So
I can't believe they tried to open the roof for the first time in 2 years and a giant chunk of metal.
Yeah, sheet metal fell
off it. So then they were like, all right, let's close it up.
They bolted it. There was another piece that was hanging. There was another piece that was hanging they were worried was going to fall, and so they said you can either get someone up there to take it down or you need to bolt it to the catwalk. So the metal was still up there loose, but they bolted it to the catwalk, and then after the game, they actually had to truly remove that other piece. I mean, that could have been
someone could have got really hurt.
Piece of sheet metal flying from that distance, that velocity, all of a sudden, we're talking about a whole different thing.
It just kind of perfectly encapsulates what the Dallas Cowboys season has been. The ceiling is actually the sky is actually falling, you know?
No joke. These places with retractable, this is a whole other, I'm fine with retractable roof, but I more and more you find out none of these places actually open the darn roof.
Mm-hmm. 2 years?
I mean,
there's been some nice days in Dallas, I'm sure, somewhere in the last 2 years.
Yeah. All right, we're back at it tomorrow on the show. Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, going to join us. We'll talk about Hollywood Brown a little bit. Maybe there's better news on the horizon. And, of course, we will also get into Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes' comments when they join the show. Up next, we hand things off to C-Dot and Rob right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.